The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 408 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is free in the podcast section of iTunes, and you can follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Let me tell you, folks, it is great to be back. Last week, we had a best of show for you. I ran down my top quarterbacks of all time, which I thought was appropriate with Peyton Manning retiring. And the reason was, it wasn't like I was on vacation or anything like that. I did not have a voice. I don't know if it was a virus, bacteria, infection, what the heck I had, but I was out of it for about a week. Not able to talk. And when you're in my line of work, that is not a good thing. I should have tweeted to all of you. And again, I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. I should have tweeted for all of you to buy stock in green tea, because I've had more green tea and honey in the past week and a half than I've had in my entire life. Icy tea, I love. Green tea, different story. It's, forget about apples and oranges. Icy tea compared to green tea is like apples and a hot fudge sundae. There is no comparison. I am not a fan of green tea, but I've had so much of that. I've had green tea out the wazoo. Stock is up on green tea, but I figured out a way that I can enjoy it. I dump about a half gallon of honey into the green tea, and then I don't even taste the stuff. So that's my way around it. But between that, between gargling with salt water, oh, that's a lot of fun, doing that 2-3 times a day. How about gargling with apple cider vinegar? Yeah, have you tried that? Mmm, delicious stuff. Do that a couple times a day. And then you can't really eat anything good. Oh, I was just miserable. Whatever it was just like hovering around. Started with my voice, lost my voice, sore throat. Then it was in my chest, congested, coughing all the time. Then, believe it or not, I was so congested that there's this tube called a Eustachian tube. And when it gets blocked, it can affect your hearing. And for one day last week, I lost hearing partially, not completely, but partially in both of my ears. Kind of like if you go to the swimming pool and you get water in your ear and you're shaking and shaking and shaking your ear, you can't get the stuff out. You can still hear, but it's not 100%. It's like 60, 70%. That was my deal. So that was a little bit scary. I've never had that happen before where a cold actually affected my hearing. Then it decided to go into my eyes. And both of my eyes were totally bloodshot. I mean, they were bright red. It looked like I just dumped chlorine right into my pupils or got out my rusty nail and just started jabbing myself in my eye, which I had to do yesterday with some of the decisions by the NCAA selection committee. Oh, and we will get to that. But the good news is, went to my family doctor. I was at the doctor twice last week. Went to my family doctor, finally got some serious meds, some good stuff, got some antibiotic, got some steroids. No, not the Barry Bonds, A-Rod, Sharapova, not that type. This is to reduce the swelling in my glands and get rid of all the congestion so I can actually talk again. So I'm going to try, and that's the key word, I'm going to try not to rant and rave, because I want to keep my voice. When you work in radio, they don't really care how you look. Although I'd have to say I'm a half decent looking guy. You know, not great, but certainly, you know, not in the slums. There's some guys in radio. Oh my goodness. But I'm glad to have my voice back. So that's why we had the best of show. And I'll tell you what, You know I am a college basketball junkie. I'm that loser who's up past midnight on the East Coast watching Mountain West Conference games and West Coast Conference games and watching all these teams, Gonzaga and St. Mary's and San Diego State and Fresno State. And then when the tournament comes around, I at least think like I know something. Now, my brackets usually stink anyway, so what's the use? But college basketball, and I know NFL is king. I'm just talking about me personally. College basketball is probably my favorite sport. I just love the passion, the energy, the enthusiasm, the fan support. I mean, that's great. You get the fans there going nuts. It's just different energy, different emotions than you see from professional sports. I mean, watching the NBA, comparing it to college basketball, it's not even close. And I watch the NBA. I'm an NBA fan, but it's not even close to what you get. And now you throw in the finality factor with the NCAA tournament, where it's win and advance, lose and go home, season over. And if you're a senior, maybe career over. That adds a lot more tension to this tournament. It's a beautiful thing. The 4 days coming up at the end of the week, the Thursday through Sunday, on my sports calendar, those are the 4 days that I circle. I think those are the best 4 days on the sports calendar because I just love college basketball. So we have a huge segment. I put 8 or 9 bubble teams under my microscope on Sunday before the bracket was announced. These are teams everybody was talking about. I looked at every win, every loss for all these teams. 4 from the power conferences, 3 mid-majors, 1 team from a smaller conference. Then I went back and looked at St. Bonaventure because I just assumed that the Bonnies were in. They have an RPI number 30, and they got left out. So I went back and looked at them. I went back and looked at Tulsa because I didn't think Tulsa had a shot. And somehow they get in. But the bottom line, the little guy got screwed again. Monmouth, San Diego State, St. Mary, St. Bonaventure, all left out. And Syracuse, Vanderbilt, Michigan, average teams from power conferences got the edge by the selection committee. We see it time and time again. And this is coming from a Syracuse graduate. And I'm telling you, I did not think the Orange deserved to be in the field. Now, I'm doing cartwheels that they're in because the NIT, we know what it stands for, not invited tournament. I mean, I'm not setting my alarm clock for a Syracuse game in the NIT. So now that they're in, I'm loving it. But I usually pull for the little guy because they don't have as many chances. If you're in a power conference, you have so many more built-in opportunities to get quality wins that the little guys don't get. So I usually prefer if the smaller conference teams get in. So we'll look at bubble teams. I'll look at which is the toughest region. I don't know what the committee was doing with some of the seeding here. We'll look at the 1 seeds versus the 2 seeds. And then I'll take you through my bracket, Sweet 16 on. I'll mix in a few upset specials. I know everybody likes that. And I have one team that's not even a top 4 seed. And I have them going to the championship game, which tells me I have completely lost my mind. This was a team highly rated, disappointed a little bit this year. I have them getting to the national championship game in Houston, not just the Final Four, but the championship. So I'll break down my bracket coming up. It's all right here on episode number 408 of the Sports Report. Also, real quick, if you did not see the 30 for 30 last night on ESPN about the Duke lacrosse team, it is must-see TV, especially if you're in the field of journalism, if you're a student who wants to get into the field of journalism, if you're a college student who has a journalism major, must see TV. What a disgrace, some of the reporting that went on with that Duke lacrosse team. And a district attorney who was up for election, who was out of control, some bad police work, but they really went in depth. There was a 2-hour 30 for 30 on the Duke lacrosse team and the accusations about sexual assault with some exotic dancers that were at their house on the Duke campus, all the tension that was going on. He had racial tension, class tension. It was a story that just blew up. And you had some media bobbleheads that just rushed to judgment, the mob mentality of the media. Take a look at that. If I was a journalism professor across the country, I would show that to my class tomorrow. It is something that people need to see. We'll get to the tournament coming up, break it all down. But first, I want to tell you about our great sponsor, and that is iHome. From the portable color-changing, how cool is that? IBT-74 to the 100% waterproof IBN-6, iHome has all your Bluetooth needs covered. From Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers, iHome combines great value and exceptional quality, the best around. iHome offers a full line of headphones, earbuds. If you're a fitness guru, you're on the treadmill, you're on the elliptical, you need those earbuds. If you travel a lot, or you just like wearing them to hang out at home and relax, go to the website, iHomeAudio.com, look at all their great products. You can also see the apps and accessories that they have. Plus, iHome is the number one brand in digital speakers. The sound quality cannot be beat, trust me. That website again, iHomeAudio.com, take a look. A lot of cool stuff there, like the IBT-74 and the IBN-6. It's on iHomeAudio.com. Now, before I give you my picks, I want to go through some of these bubble teams. And I think I picked out some good ones because four got in and four did not. Let me start with my alma mater, Syracuse, who gets in as a 10 seed. So they really weren't even on the bubble, which is shocking. 19-13 overall, 9-9 in conference, an RPI of 71, which is shocking that they would get in. Lost five of their last six games. Now, Cuse did have five top 50 wins, which is how they got in. They beat Duke on the road. They beat Texas A&M, who was 26-8, and you saw the Aggies take Kentucky down to the wire in the SEC championship. They beat UConn. And that win looks a lot better now because UConn played its way up to a number 9 seed by winning its tournament. Also beat St. Bonaventure by 13 early on. You look at the losses, three of them to Pittsburgh, including the Big East tournament opener by a point. When the Orange lost that one, I thought all hope is gone. They're done. They lost twice to North Carolina, lost at Virginia, at Miami, at Louisville, to Wisconsin in overtime, at Florida State. But then you have bad losses, horrific losses. They lost to Georgetown, who was way down, and then at St. John's, the Johnnies. And I wish good luck to Chris Mullen, but they were 8-24. How do you lose to St. John's and get in the tournament? But Syracuse did. I think the Duke and the A&M and the UConn wins, and then the head-to-head over Bonaventure. Now, Bonaventure tied for first in the A-10 with Dayton and VCU. Bonaventure was 22-8, 14-4. They had a couple bad losses, too, with Sal and Duquesne. I would have put them in. I'll tell you the three teams I would have booted out and the three teams I would have put in coming up in a bit. Temple got in as a 10 seed. I really didn't think they were in jeopardy. I value what you do over the regular season much more than just 1 week. I think sometimes the committee and fans, you know, they finally start watching teams, at least fans do, and they just pay attention to what happened in the conference tournament, and they forget about the 3.5 months of the regular season. That should matter more than just 1 week. Temple won the American Athletic Conference. They played people, which I respect. They beat SMU, who was not eligible for the tournament, but that was a 25-5 club. They beat Cincinnati twice. They beat UConn twice, then lost by 15 to UConn on Saturday in the American tournament. And you look at quality losses, UNC, Villanova, Utah, Butler, at Wisconsin, St. Joe's in overtime. That's a rivalry game. The only bad loss for Temple was East Carolina in late January. So I thought they should have been in because they did win their conference in the regular season. And they got in. Michigan gets in. They're in a first four game against Tulsa. Michigan 22-12, 10-8 in the Big Ten. Some nice wins. Maryland, Purdue, Indiana, of course, on that last second three-pointer in the Big Ten tournament. Also beat a solid Texas team, but then lost to Purdue by 17 in the Big Ten tournament. What I think helped Michigan, I didn't find one bad loss on the resume. They lost to UConn at home by 14 in late November, but no losses, you know, like Syracuse lost to St. John's or Temple lost to East Carolina. I didn't find that with Michigan, which helps. South Carolina did not get in, and that's not a surprise. I had them out all the way. 24-8 record looks great until you dig a little deeper, and that's what you have to do. You can't just look at the record on paper. They were 11-7 in the SEC, started 15-0, but there wasn't one great win in that stretch. They beat Vanderbilt, who was a disappointment this year. I'll get to Vandy in a second. As for Carolina, beat A&M on the road in early February. That was their best win by far. That was the only top 50 win for South Carolina. And then they lose to Georgia in the SEC tournament opener. So I did not think they deserved to be in, and they did not get in. All right, now let's get to Vanderbilt here, who gets in. They're in one of the first four games against Wichita State. That's a good game. Wichita State got in. I think the committee looked at what they did when they were healthy. Of course, Fred Van Vliet, their outstanding point guard, was hurt. I think their record when they were completely healthy was 21-3. So Wichita State got in. Vanderbilt did play a good schedule, but underachieved all season long. This was a team with talent that did not live up to the hype. They were number 63 in the RPI. They did beat Texas A&M by 17 in early February. They also beat Kentucky by 12 late last month. But then in the SEC tournament, their first game, they lose to Tennessee. And Tennessee did not have its best player. Volunteers were 15-19. I mean, when that happened, I'm saying bye-bye Vanderbilt, you're done. And the committee puts them in. Now let's get to teams that got the axe here. San Diego State, this should never have happened. 25-9, 16-2 in the Mountain West, which is not a bad conference. And they won the regular season by three games over Fresno State. Then they lost to Fresno by five Saturday in the Mountain West tournament. But this is a team, everyone's raving about Cal and all the pros that they have, all the NBA players that Cal has. They're the trendy McTrenderson team now, all the wise guys like Cal. San Diego State beat Cal by 14 points. They also scheduled Kansas and West Virginia. They played at Utah. The only awful loss that I found was San Diego in December. That was it. That was back in December. San Diego State should have been in. Won the regular season in the Mountain West by three games. Beat Cal by 14. They should be in. Monmouth should have been in. This is a travesty. They won the Metro Atlantic regular season title by a game over Iona, but then lost to Iona by three in their conference tournament. This team had 13 road wins, 27-7, 17-3 in their conference. They scheduled up. They played UCLA, won at UCLA in overtime. Now, I know the Bruins are down, but that's not the fault of Monmouth. You know, when you schedule UCLA, you think, hey, that's a good team to schedule. That'll help our resume. They beat Notre Dame, who's a sixth seed in this tournament. They split with USC. USC's an 8 seed in this tournament. They won at Georgetown by 15. And you say, well, Georgetown was down, Paul. Okay, Georgetown beat Syracuse. How about that? Now, the committee's saying the three losses that they had to teams that were 200 or higher in the RPI is what killed Monmouth. They had three terrible losses. But I'm sorry, when you schedule like they did and you're playing UCLA and USC and Notre Dame and Georgetown, you're scheduling big boys, you have 13 road wins, they should have been in the tournament. I mean, that was very, very disappointing. And then finally, St. Mary's, 27-5, 15-3. They beat Gonzaga twice to win the West Coast regular season championship, but lost to the Zags by 10 in the West Coast tournament final. The schedule hurt St. Mary's. I mean, they basically did a tour of California. Their losses aren't bad. You know, I mentioned Gonzaga in the tournament championship game. They lost twice to Pepperdine. They lost at BYU. BYU's 23-10. They lost at Cal by 4. And again, Cal is a really good team. So St. Mary's, another little guy that got the shaft. So overall, I was disappointed. I thought the little guy got screwed in this one. Monmouth, San Diego State, St. Mary's, Bonaventure, all were left out. Syracuse, Vandy, Michigan all got in. Mediocre teams from power conferences were rewarded. The biggest shock to me was Tulsa. They were the last team in the field. I did not even break them down before last night because I didn't have them on my bubble. They were 20-11. They were 12-6. They were tied for third in the American Conference, which got a lot of love. Got four teams in, and SMU wasn't even eligible. But this is a team that lost to Memphis by 10 at the end of the regular season, and then on Friday lost to Memphis by 22 in the conference tournament. 22, and Memphis is not a tournament team. I mean, Joe Lunardi called Tulsa's selection, quote, indefensible by every known standard. And I love Lunardi. I think he does a really good job. So that was the shock to me. Now, they did beat Wichita State, but that was back in November. They beat SMU on the road. I'll give them credit there. Split with UConn, split with Temple, split with Cincinnati. But those Memphis losses, I mean, wow. So Tulsa, to me, should be out. These are the changes I would make. I take out Tulsa, Syracuse, and Vanderbilt. My college buddies won't be happy to hear that. And I took Cuse out. I put in Monmouth, San Diego State, and St. Bonaventure. St. Bonaventure had an RPI of 30. Syracuse's was 71. Vanderbilt's was in the 60s. St. Bonaventure beat St. Joe's twice, who's in this tournament. They also beat Dayton. So I would have had St. Bonaventure in. I would have gone with three more little guys and get Tulsa, Cuse, and Vanderbilt out of there. Now, as far as the seeds here, I think the bobbleheads, and I tweeted this several times, I'm on Twitter, at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. Feel free to chime in. I was very active on Sunday. Got a lot of great responses there. The bobbleheads on CBS, ESPN, whatever you're watching, spend way too much time on who's a one seed and who's a two. Who cares? We know they're in. Sunday to me is about the bubble teams. Who gets in? Who gets left out? That's what they should be focusing on. If you're a one, if you're a two, you know, take care of business. You play each other and it'll be a neutral site. There's so much yapping about ones and twos. Kansas was the overall number one, and in Vegas, they're the 9-2 favorite. They're in the South. UNC is the second choice at 5-1. Michigan State's also at 5-1 in Vegas, and they're not even a number one seed. UNC's in the East. Virginia's in the Midwest, and Oregon out West. Now, I had no problem at all with Oregon and Virginia getting number one seeds, and I'll tell you why. RPI still matters a lot. Oregon's RPI was number two. They beat Utah by 31 Saturday. Dana Altman, heck of a coach. They score almost 80 a game. Oregon's good. A lot of East Coast people may not have seen them. Their RPI was 2. Virginia's was 3. Michigan State, who's everybody's screaming and yelling about, had an RPI of 12. 12. So, you know, I know they won the conference championship game, and that's fine and dandy. I didn't have an issue with Michigan State being a 2 seed, and they throw them in the same region with Virginia. So, hey, let them two duke it out in the Midwest. I'm cool with that. The other twos, Villanova. And when they lost to Seton Hall, I think that knocked them off the one line. By the way, how does Seton Hall end up as a 6 seed? Some of these seeds are atrocious. And then they get Gonzaga with Wilcher and Sabonis, who could be two pros on the front line. Ouch. That is a brutal scene and a terrible draw for Seton Hall. They deserve better. Xavier's the two seed in the East with North Carolina. I mentioned Michigan State's in the Midwest with Virginia. Oklahoma is the number two seed out West with Oregon. You have Buddy Hield, the Big 12 player of the year, possible national player of the year in the conversation with Denzel Valentine there. So those are the ones and twos. As far as the toughest region, to me, it is the South. I mean, they did Kansas no favors. Kansas is the number one overall seed, and they're in with Villanova, who probably is the number one until they lose to Seton Hall. Miami, a veteran, experienced team. Cal, who has Jaylen Brown, a freshman, another freshman in Ivan Rabb, who's 6'11", and a 6'5 point guard in Tyrone Wallace. That's a team with NBA talent. They're a 4 seed. Maryland's a 5 seed, and I love their starting five. Much more Maryland coming up. Melo Trimble, Rashid Suleiman, the transfer from Duke, in the backcourt. You have the freshman Stone at 6'11". Carter and Lehman. Lehman can shoot the three on the front line. That starting five, I'm telling you, I think that starting five, just talent-wise, they haven't played like it, but just talent-wise, I think they're as good as anyone in America. Arizona's a 6 seed at 25-8, and yet Oregon State's a 7 seed in the West. That makes no sense. Iowa was a very good team, had a late season slump. They're the 7 seed. I mean, this South region committee, what are you doing? It's loaded like a college kid on his 21st birthday. And then I go to the East. The East, to me, is the second toughest region. North Carolina, good luck. You could get Providence in the second round with Dunn and Bentel. Chris Dunn is a lottery pick. He may be the best point guard in America. Certainly Tyler Ulis from Kentucky is up there as well. But as far as NBA potential, Dunn could be a top 5 pick. I love his game. And Carolina could get them in round number 2. You're getting them before you even get out of the weekend. Xavier's the 2 seed. That's a physical, gritty team. West Virginia, same thing. Call them Press Virginia. They get up, guard, play just like their coach, the Huggy Bear, Bob Huggins. They are physical. They are intense. They're coming at you 94 feet. Kentucky, how good did they play? And they end up as a 4 seed in the East. Calipari was absolutely fuming about that. That could be a Sweet 16 with North Carolina. You have Murray and Ulis in that backcourt. Murray, his NBA stock is going up, up, and away. I mean, Indiana is a 5 seed. Yogi Ferrell at the guard spot. So I thought the South and the East, by far the toughest regions. And you can weigh in on Twitter. Want to get your takes on the bubble teams and who got the shaft, who should not be in this tournament. What is the toughest region? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. I'll give you some first round upsets to look at here. In the Midwest, number 11, Gonzaga. I have the Zags winning 2 games, beating Seton Hall and then also Utah. In that same region, I am going with the Cuse as a 10 seed. They get Dayton here as a 7 seed. I think Syracuse can win that. That is a pick'em game out in Vegas. You want a 10 seed? How about VCU over Oregon State, the 7 seed out West? I could see the West region getting blown up. I'm not real high on that region there. If you're looking for a 12-5 upset, and we always look for those, try Yale. I am not wowed by Baylor. Baylor is always really athletic, and they disappoint me because they play zone. If you're that athletic, you're that skilled and talented, how about guarding somebody, playing some man-to-man? But they don't. Look at me, a Syracuse grad, complaining about a team that plays zone. But give Yale a look-see there. Yale was only a 6-point underdog in that matchup. Northern Iowa could upset Texas. Texas is a poor free throw shooting team. If it's close late, keep that in mind. Texas is a 4.5-point favorite over Northern Iowa, a team that won 22 games this season. So those are some double-digit seeds to take a look at. Gonzaga, VCU, maybe Yale, Northern Iowa. If you're looking for those upset specials, I don't know how far you want to take those teams, but I'm just throwing them out there. So that's a look at some of my upsets, the toughest regions, who got the shaft this year. Now I'll take you through region by region from the Sweet 16 on. We're on episode 408, March Madness NCAA Tournament Special here on the Sports Report Podcast. I'm Paul Roberts. Thrilled to have my voice back. It took over a week to get my voice back. Finally came back on Saturday. So we're with you live today on the Grizz. That is grizzlyproductions.tv. And of course, in the podcast section of iTunes, you like what you hear, keep those five-star reviews coming on iTunes. All right. Are you ready to be shocked? Let's start in the South, which I told you is the toughest. Kansas is your number one. I have Kansas and Maryland in the Sweet 16. Now, the second round game, if this game comes to fruition, don't miss this game. It's the best second round game possible. Maryland and Cal. Tons of talent. I already went through both of these rosters. It is unbelievable that these teams, these were going to be two of my sleeper teams to get real deep in the tournament. And now they play in the second round, which I was so annoyed about. But I have Maryland getting by Cal, which will not be easy. Cal's got Hawaii in their first round, which won't be a walk in the park either. I have Maryland beating Kansas. Okay. Bottom half of that region, I have Arizona over Villanova. You can't trust Nova in the tournament. Arizona has a lot of talent. You know, that conference, Pac-12, was good this year. Arizona as a 6 seed and Maryland as a 5 seed are in my Elite Eight, my South Region Final. Call me nuts, but hey, why not? There's been so much parity this year. So many teams became number one in the country and then lost. So why not get a little wild? That's what I'm going to do. I have a 5 seed and a 6 seed, so you can't accuse me of going all chalk here. And I have Maryland getting to the Final Four. I just think the talent is there. You go back preseason, people were saying this team was a Final Four team, maybe a national championship team. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe it's chemistry, but I like the talent. And that's what I'm going to go with there, with Trimble at the guard spot and Suleiman, that big front line. Hopefully Stone comes to play. So that's what I'm doing in the South. In the West, I'm not in love with this region, to be honest. I have Oregon getting by Duke. Again, Duke has no bench. They're very thin, but you have two really good players on that team, and I think that's enough to win a couple games. Bottom of the West, I like Texas A&M. That's a veteran club. They're physical. They play the game the right way. They share the ball. They have different guys who can beat you, like the point guard. I think A&M is a nice, savvy team in there. And I'll go with Oklahoma to get to the Sweet 16 with Buddy Hield. But, you know, you heard Charles Barkley say they shoot a lot of jumpers. Now, he joked how that came back to hurt him with his NBA predictions, because look at Golden State. But I actually have A&M beating Oklahoma, and then I have A&M facing Oregon. Oregon's the best team nobody talks about. Again, their RPI was number 2 in the country, but they're out West. Most people don't see him. Dana Altman, a very, very good coach, and they can score. I mean, they're right around 80 points a game. But I have A&M beating Oregon. So I have Maryland to the Final Four as a 5, and I have A&M to the Final Four out of the West as a 3 seed. Now I'm going to give you some chalk. We'll start in the East here. UNC Kentucky. Whew. I mean, that is a dandy. That's a beautiful Sweet 16 game. Kentucky's playing much better of late. Love the backcourt with Ulis and Murray. If Poitras and company on the front line play well, they're dangerous. But Carolina's hot now, too. They did win the conference championship. Bottom of that, West Virginia Xavier, if it happens. I'll tell you what, that's a steel cage match. Battle Royale. forget about SummerSlam. That is Spring Slam with Hogan and Ric Flair and everybody else. I like West Virginia there, and then I'll have UNC moving on to the Final Four. Although I thought about Kentucky, and I did think about West Virginia too. And if you pick either of those teams, I can't fault you. Midwest, I like Virginia a lot. Now, the style of play is a concern because they play at such a slow pace. And when that happens, you can get low-scoring games. And when you play a low-scoring game, you are vulnerable to the upset. But Parentis and Brogdon and Gill, those are three really, really good players. Tony Bennett is a phenomenal coach. If you've listened to me over the years, I rave about the job he's done with Virginia. They're disciplined. They play the game the right way. They play defense. They'll guard you. I have Virginia beating Iowa State. Now, Iowa State could have a tough one with Purdue in the second round. Iowa State always has a lot of talent, and they never seem to do a whole lot. Purdue's got a monster front line, especially with Hammonds in there. I mean, you have three guys who are, you know, right around 7 feet on that Purdue team. I don't like their guard play. I don't think it's good enough, though. But I have Virginia over Iowa State. And then the bottom of that, Gonzaga I have as an 11 seed. And Gonzaga is now the favorite, by the way, against Seton Hall. Seton Hall opened as a 1-point favorite. Gonzaga is now the 1.5-point favorite, even as an 11 seed. And then I have Gonzaga beating Utah, who's not a bad team. They have a good big guy as well, but that's the strength of Gonzaga. And then Michigan State. I mean, you have to like them. So I have Michigan State beating the Zags, Michigan State, Virginia. Everyone and their brothers taking Michigan State to the Final Four or to win it all. So I'm going to go with Virginia here against Michigan State. Again, I definitely understand if you want to take Valentine and Izzo. I mean, there's a great track record there. I just like Virginia. And then I have in my Final Four, so I have a couple one seeds for you, Virginia and Carolina. Then I have a 3 seed in Texas A&M, and I have a 5 in Maryland. Maybe all the medicine, the antibiotics, the steroids, maybe it went to my brain. I'm getting a little loopy here with the Maryland pick. But Final Four, I have Maryland beating A&M. Maryland in the championship game against North Carolina. And I really just flipped a coin here because I like Virginia a lot. I almost had Virginia in there, but I went with North Carolina because they can score more. They're not a good outside shooting team, though, at all. But, you know, they don't really have to. And I think Marcus Paige at the point is playing much better of late, and he is so important to that team. He didn't look like himself early on this season. I don't know what was going on there, but he's playing better now. They have some good players inside. So I'm going to go with Carolina to the championship game. Carolina beats Virginia. And then my national championship, April the 4th in Houston, is Carolina and Maryland. Drum roll provided by you. I am going with Roy Williams and the Tar Heels to cut the Nets down. I'm going with the powder blue of UNC down there in Chapel Hill. And no, it's not because my cousin Matt went to North Carolina. And I did get to see a game there back in the day when they had Rasheed Wallace and Jerry Stackhouse. How about that 1-2 punch? I am going with Carolina over Maryland to win it all. So that's my prediction. Who do you have? Who do you like in your Final Four? Who are your upset specials? Which teams do you think got screwed this year and should have been in the tournament, like a Monmouth, like a Bonaventure, like a San Diego State? Who should have been out, like a Cuse or a Vanderbilt or a Tulsa? Let me know. I want the answers to all of that on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT. Keep listening in the podcast section of iTunes. Keep sending those 5-star reviews our way. It helps to promote the show. I'm with you every Monday. Can't wait for Thursday through Sunday. 4 best days on my sports calendar. I made it through. Full 40-minute show. Made it through. My voice still intact for now. Hopefully it's still intact next week when I join you again. Enjoy the tournament, everybody. It's a great time of year. I'm Paul Roberts. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is episode number 408 of the Sports Report on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.